Hello, hello, hello. This is Andy Voris, AV Fitness Podcast. Thanks for joining. So today is the first day of AV Fitness Podcast, coming to you outside of Chicago. And AV Fitness is the personal training company I've had for a few years now. I am the program director for Parisi Speed School. At Life Zone 360 in West Dundee. So my AV fitness company is kind of dissolving as I take on this new role. And I will be the assistant general manager over Life Zone 360, which holds Human Performance, which is our personal training and adult fitness group classes, and eventually our 9,000 square foot training facility, and Parisi Speed School. So, there you have it. So, today, first session, first podcast, I want to discuss, I'm going to just start right off with some of the things I see on a day-to-day basis, specifically today, and we'll cover some scenarios and things. So, my belief, there's a lot of things I have certain beliefs in or disbelief in. After being in the industry since about 1992, I got my certification in college, and I worked for many years in health clubs. I had my own studio, opened a gym with some people one year. We opened a high altitude training facility out in Utah for a little bit. Went to work for Lifetime Fitness in Utah, Colorado, Illinois, working metabolic specialist, doing a lot of personal training, assistant department head, stuff like that. So over the years, I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot of things come and go. I've seen some great ideas. I've seen some not so great ideas. I've developed some hardcore beliefs in certain things, like exercises that are good or bad, or some methodology that's good or bad. So I'll cover a lot of that over the next several podcasts. But I think we're just going to jump right in with some of the scenarios I see. So part of Human Performance at Life Zone 360 is working with a clinic. And in our building, there is a chiropractor, physical therapist, massage therapist, all these things from the medical side of things. I get referrals from them to do evaluations or assessments. And that assessment is functional in nature a lot of times because we are also Parisi Speed School. So it could be assessing subjectively and objectively. We can also do a sport performance package with that. But a lot of times what I end up more and more with is a corrective exercise client or potential client. So I do a lot of range of motion things. I've done the functional movement screen. I really just kind of put them through their paces on a very low level exercise routine where I'm assessing and trying to determine, what I see, what the needs are. So asymmetries of the body, obviously discussing where their symptoms are, where their issues are, that sort of thing. So I recently gained a potential client from the clinic who has about 4 months before they go back to college to play soccer. They've been out. They've had some medical issues over the past year. Came to me for assessment protocol to kind of put my two cents in as what we can do. This gentleman, once he gets functional again, he will then be going, his plan will shift to getting him fit enough and back into playing shape. So he went to his physical therapy assessment, then came next door to me, and we started going through an eval. And usually an eval is a vertical jump, a five-hop test, 10-yard dash, 20-yard dash, 40-yard dash, a 5-10-5 cone shuttle, or what do you want to call it,
And then we can do a few other things there. Some flexibility tests, postural analysis, that sort of thing. So I did some of those. I kind of let typically an assessment, what I can identify, lead me in the direction of what the assessment should entail. And some of the data coming in from what I gained from this individual, his mom, and from the therapist and the doctor who sent him my way. So this guy was very functional in terms of sports and his ability to change direction, to run, to accelerate, to start, all those things. But he had learned to compensate to make all that happen. He has the onset of scoliosis. He has atrophied rhomboids and mid trapezius or low trapezius, pretty bad. His QLs are super tight, and his lateral gastroc on the left side is really tight, as well as like a trigger point in his left quadricep, borderline IT band. So hip flexor, really, but it's fairly low in the quad. So my belief is in a session, or what I'm trying to create for a prehab, rehab type thing, really with all my clients and athletes, we start our session off with foam rolling. We deactivate what is overactive. We then lengthen only what we've deactivated with a foam roller or a ball or whatever it might be. Then we activate the opposing muscle group. So we try to create some neurological inhibition, some reciprocal inhibition, with the opposing muscle group being activated. And then we get into a dynamic warm-up. And my focus is really, what exercises should we do in a dynamic warm-up that are not going to affect this person negatively? So if they have really tight hip flexors, we're not going to do things that are hip flexor dominant in the exercise. We would definitely try to do things that are glute dominant, because that would be reciprocal inhibition for the hip flexor. So we will put together that. Plus, we do want to get them warmed up, so we have to make sure we're doing those things. Then we go into, for an athlete, we would go into hopefully a power plate session for 5 or 10 minutes. If we don't have a power plate, then that's part of the dynamic warm-up. We would next move into a linear session, so linear speed, and then lateral speed. For a non-athlete, it would be more of a balance, so kind of following the NASM protocol, and core, balance and core. For an athlete, though, we start with the most neurologically demanding exercises. So linear speed, then lateral speed, and then we go with plyometrics. So typically med ball work, followed by jumps, and that could be body weight or a box. And then we go into Olympic lifts, still trying to get that done as before we fatigue neurologically. So we practice perfect and we're kind of fresh. And then we move into our strength training session. And that strength training could be deadlift or something like that still. But it's also auxiliary lifts. So if it may, you know, biceps, triceps, you know, hamstrings, whatever it is. So once we finish our strength training, we go into energy system development. So Tabata style, typically nowadays, 45 on, 15 off. We did it back before it was called Tabata. And the duration changes over time. The interval, length of intervals and recovery ratios, they change over time. They hopefully get more specific to the athlete's main sport as we get closer, but not necessarily. So once we've trained energy systems, we finish with core for an athlete. We don't do it in the beginning because we want their core to be strong and be able to hang in there throughout their session. So after we've done core training, We will foam roll and assisted stretching from the trainer. Now, sometimes we do this as a large group, meaning anywhere from 8 to 20 kids. In that scenario, there's no assisted stretching with a trainer, but we might partner stretch. And then also the strength training might be body weight, just however we need to deal with a large group. So our facility is 140,000 square feet. There are three, sometimes five, depending on what's going on and who's utilizing the space, fields of 80 by, like, I don't know, 140, something like that. So, of turf. So, great facility for training athletes. So, now if we go back to the individual that's not an athlete, I finished with core and balance with them. We do the core and balance, and then we get into and reactive training. So, sort of like linear and lateral. Then we do our strength training session, and then we finish with core. I'm sorry, we already did core. We finish with energy system again after the non-athlete does strength, and then foam rolling, soft tissue work, and assisted stretching. So those are really the two scenarios we have. Corrective, there are times we don't do any of the strength training. It's so low level, I wouldn't call it that. And then, obviously, there's a thousand things that, you know, we could address in everything I just said right now, and the plyos, and the strength training, and the energy systems, and that sort of thing. But in a nutshell, overview here in our very first podcast as to what we utilize and how we kind of do things, what our methodology is. That's kind of how we do it. So I've been through CSCS, NSCA, all these different certs. And in about 2005 or 6, I was working with the NFL, and I finally went and got my NASM cert. And I liked it so much that I determined that most of my training is going to be based on NASM now. And all the phases of all the other certs fit into the NASM model, which I really liked. So it helps me, and it has helped me over the years, grow to become a better corrective exercise person and have a better understanding of my clients. And I think its model of periodization works better. I personally don't feel that there is any athlete nowadays that can go through a linear periodization model that's a full year, because they get injured or they're in a sport, or I just don't have them long enough. So if I were in a university and I had a kid all year round, yes, I could write the program for them. Normally, though, something's going to sideline an athlete to get off track for a while. You got to know how to get them back on. And with the NASM model, I really get to kind of slide them to whatever phase works best, and how, and it's very easy to work them back into the phase they need to get to. And I think it's just awesome the way it can be manipulated a little bit. So you can turn any program into an undulated periodization model, and I think that is legit and works, but the linear is kind of out the window for me. So it never really works out that way, or rarely. If at all. So so a little more about my history. I did work the NFL and with NFL athletes in total about 6 years. So I got some of the fun, cool experience of that. But, you know, the number one goal there was really don't injure your athlete. Get him another year. And be safe. So, of course, all of those high-level athletes want a great workout, and they want you to kind of kick their butt. But I had to balance that with just make sure they don't get injured. And lucky for me, most of my athletes were veterans, and when they came to me, that next year was the best year they'd had. because I felt like I helped them feel better and move better, and they were more prepared for the season. And I think we handled the off season better than they had prior to working with me. And some of that was, I'm kind of a stickler for our recovery and not being an idiot and drinking every night and getting crazy and treating your body like crap. So I require that of my athletes, whether I'm going to their house and picking them up and getting them out of bed in the morning, or meeting them at the gym, or they're coming to me. You know, I try to make that kind of thing happen. And I think that, you know, that alone had a big impact on the elite level performers who like to not pay so much attention to their bodies and you know, live that kind of life. So I'm at like 16 minutes into this first podcast, and I just want to wrap it up now probably. So in the future, I'm going to come up with a whole bunch of other cool stuff to talk about. Hopefully get some interviews going with some prominent people in the industry. I know I'll work with, I've got 6 or 7 great trainers I've hired, and I'll be working with them on podcasts and hopefully get some sponsors, that sort of thing. We've got a lot of, you know, opportunities for that here with where we're at. We've got over 1,000 athletes by December that we work with at Parisi, and, you know, lots of individual clients as well. So very fortunate to have this opportunity. I was training at another club recently, and this Parisi just came on. This whole Life Zone just came about recently, so I made the switch. And boy, am I'm tickled to be here, that's for sure. So I hope if you're on this, hopefully you come back, and hopefully there's some good stuff. Always be able to ask me questions, email me. It's Andy Voris. It's V as in Victor, O-R-I-S, 56 at gmail.com. That's my email. And you can email me anytime, and I'll respond and get back to you on questions you might have on how we do things. Or you know, reach out to me. Tell me what you want to hear about, what you want me to talk about. Okay? Thanks so much, and we'll see you next time.